Matthew chapter 17. Thank you, brother. Matthew 17. Jaden and Hannah have been singing that song about the remedy. They've sung it about every service for the past week or two, and that's on purpose. I've got that thought on my mind this morning. There is a remedy. And I want you to look in verse number 14, Matthew 17 and verse number 14. The Bible says, when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, look at this phrase, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart, saying, Why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. There is a remedy. Let's pray together. Lord, I love you. I thank you for the privilege of being in church today. I thank you, Lord, for those that have faithfully come out to the house of God today in spite of the weather. Lord, I pray that you'd bless them. Lord, I think of those that are in the hospital right now that need a touch from you. I think of Rhonda and Lisa and their mom, Miss Paula. Lord, I pray that you'd please do a miracle for her today. And just give them a good day up at the hospital. Help that to go well. For all of our members that are recovering from surgeries, God, I pray that you would touch them. Lord, for the next few minutes, God, give us a good time in the Word of God. And if there'd be anybody here today that's lost, I pray that you'd bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and that you would know them so that they could go to heaven. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, when you read this story, there's not going to be anybody in the room right now that's going to say, oh, this is me. I'm a lunatic. Nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to say, Now, I've been around something. I'm not being funny. I have been around people that were just like this guy. I was, and this is going to sound kind of creepy, but I'm going to tell you a story. I mean, I was in the Philippines one time, and we were on an island, a little bitty island. And went to this church building that we'd bought, a concrete, it was a house, really is what it was, that we'd converted into a church. And somebody in the community got so angry about the Christians starting a church there that they killed a pig. And they dragged the pig into the church and took its blood and painted the walls with pig blood all over that church. He was a known maniac. He moved into the church building and would not leave. Ended up being a terrible, terrible situation. Very similar to the maniac of Gadara. Very similar to the kind of person he was, that guy was. I've told y'all about the demoniac that I dealt with in a revival meeting one time that came to the altar and was. I knew God was dealing with him, but he ended up cussing, pushing away from the altar and running out the side door of the church. And his behavior was that of similar to this lunatic here in this verse. So, I'm not going to say we have any lunatics here today. If the moon does just exactly right, this lunatic would jump into the water. And if the moon did something else, the lunatic would jump into the fire. A lunatic is a demoniac that is controlled by the phases of the moon. And so, I don't think we have anybody like that here today. I've watched out for you, and we have pretty good security here at the church. I don't think if we had any lunatics, we'd probably deal with them right off the bat. Can I get an amen right there? We don't have any physical lunatics. But when you see Bible stories like this and you want to make a spiritual comparison to it, how many of you could say today that you could compare yourself spiritually to this lunatic? to where when you are, and what is the lunatic controlled by? He's controlled by the devil, physically, this lunatic is. But if you're not saved, you've never been born again, then your soul is controlled by the devil. How do I know that? Well, you haven't got saved yet. There's only two forces in this universe today, and that's the forces of God and the forces of the devil. And if you're not controlled by the forces of God, you are by default controlled by the forces of the devil. And when you die, you will be dragged to the eternal abode of the devil, and that is the lake of fire. That's what's going to happen to you. Now, I want you to look at verse number 14. The man with a burden. Verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying. When you look at this verse, you see somebody that's gone to Jesus and he's humbled himself before Jesus, trying to get Jesus' attention on the behalf of somebody that's controlled by the devil. Now, did you get that? I'm going to say it again. This man came to Jesus, humbled himself before Jesus to get the attention of Jesus on behalf of somebody that's controlled by the devil. Now, some of y'all are looking at me like you're too cold to be able to hear. Okay? Clean them ears out. I'm going to say that one more time. This man came to Jesus, humbled himself before Jesus on behalf of somebody that was controlled by the devil. Honestly, we've got a big need for that today. That's why we have Monday night prayer. That's really even why we have Wednesday night prayer meetings. We come here because we want to get a hold of God, humble ourselves before God on behalf of those that need the Lord. Whether they're lost or whether they're backslidden or whether they have a need that is something that we don't even understand, we pray on their behalf. And that's what this man did. He went to Jesus. Look at the verse. When they were come to the multitude. So there's a lot of people around there. Not just this one man. There was a lot. A lot of times we look at that and say, oh, there's so much going on. I don't have time, or I'm not important enough to approach God. I don't have what it takes to get a hold of God. This man didn't care if he had what it took. He didn't care if he had the credentials to talk to Jesus or not. Why? Because the person he was asking about was being controlled by the devil. Now, I'm going to make a very strong statement here, and you can take it or leave it, but we've got a lot of people in our government that are lunatics. And I'm not talking about, I'm not being funny about that. We have a war in our nation between good and evil. And those that would promote the evil of this society are controlled by the devil, and you might as well go ahead and call them a lunatic. They're controlled by the devil. Now, how do we fight that? We fight that by asking God to save them and turn their lives around. We fight that by asking God to put them under conviction and to bring them around to know the Lord. We're in a society right now where people think it's okay to kill an unborn child all the way to the day it's born. We live in that society. And if we're not careful, our nation will be run by people that believe that's okay. It's not okay. We live in a society where people think it's okay for a man or a woman to go to the hospital and have a surgery and change the way God made them to be. That's not okay. We live in a society where it's possible, it is possible, not probable, but it is possible that we could have a man in the White House in the next 12 months that has pictures of himself publicly kissing his husband. His husband. That's where America's at. That's the control of the devil, and it is lunacy. How do you combat that? Do you hate them? No. Do you shoot them? No. What do? You take them to the Lord. Say, Lord, this man is a lunatic. We're living in a nation where people don't care. It's okay to gamble. It's okay to drink. It's okay to swear. It's okay to tell dirty jokes. It's okay to cheat on your spouse. Everything's okay. They're lunatics. They need to be controlled by God and not the devil. The man with a burden. All right, look at verse 15. Then we see a son who is broken. A son who is broken. He said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and off into the water. Now these are interesting words here. He said, Lord, have mercy on my son. And that is true intercessory prayer. You need to go to God and say, hey, I know this person is controlled by the devil. I know that they're on their way to hell. I know that if they don't get right with God, they're going to be judged by God. But Lord, I beg you to have mercy on them. You know what we like to do? Listen now. Now this is this man's son. And we have a harder time doing it with our own children. But we have a tendency as red-blooded Southern Appalachian mountain people to look at somebody that's getting judged for their wrongdoing and get a kick out of it. And for this man to look at his own son and to say, you know, Lord, get him. Lord, go ahead and get him. Lord, go ahead and judge him. You know, I don't know that I'd ever be able to do that with my own son. But we're very quick to ask for God's judgment on those that aren't connected to us. They're not connected to us. It won't affect us. It won't hurt us. So we pray for the judgment of God on them, and we just ask God for mercy on our own son, our own daughter. But in a spiritual picture here, we ought to ask God for mercy on all of the lunatics. All of those that are controlled by the devil. We need to ask for God's mercy for them. Because if we don't have God's mercy for them, they will die and go to a devil's hell. We need to pray for God's mercy. We see, we don't have a burden. This son was broken. Look at verse 15. He said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. He wasn't just kind of lost. He was really lost. Now, what's the difference? I don't know. Some people think that if you're a good person, you're only sort of lost. But if you're a terrible person that drinks and carouses and messes around, then you're really bad lost. If you got a person that's on their way to hell, they're lost. I don't care how good or how bad they are in their body, they're lost. They're lunatics that are controlled by the devil. You say, well, that's disrespectful. I'm not trying to be dishonorable to them. I'm not trying to shame them. If you're here today and you're lost, you are, believe it, like it or not, you're controlled by the devil. You are controlled by the devil. And my heart burns for you. My soul is burdened for you to not be controlled by the devil, to not have your soul taken to hell for all of eternity. My heart is that you will not be that way. That's my soul's burden today. He said, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. Let me ask you this question now. This man is really close to dying and going to hell. How many times do you fall into the water or fall into the fire and survive it? Not many, but he's doing it often. It's like the maniac of Gadara that was cutting himself with stones. I believe the reason that they went over in the nighttime and Jesus cast the devils out of him in the middle of that, right after that terrible storm, I believe that that maniac would have succeeded in his attempt and he had died and went to hell that day if Jesus hadn't went over there and got him. So you have this boy that is sore vexed, often falling into the fire and oft falling into the water. He's not got a lot of hope. He's not got a lot of, and I'm here, now he's got some hope, but he don't have a lot of hope. You know somebody, they're playing with sin. They're toying around with sin. They're messing around with the holiness of God. They're messing around with the righteousness of God. And it will not take many more times of falling into the water or falling into the fire for them to just go ahead and be taken out and end up in hell. God does not tolerate. Now, it may take 50 years. Okay, well, what is 50 years compared to eternity? Nothing. It's a vapor. It's a drop in the bucket. It's very little. So at the end of that time, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? But we live in a society where people are okay with lunacy. People think that lunacy is normal. Being controlled by the devil is normal. Somebody that lives in repetitive and rampant sin is being controlled by the devil. He's certainly not being controlled by God. All right? The son who is broken. Then we see in verse 16, the disciples who are blocked. They're blocked from helping him. Verse 16. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Now, I want to preach to Arrington Branch Baptist Church for just a minute. Now, if you're a visitor, I want you to listen. But I'm going to preach to the members of this church. It would be a tragic day, the day that it became a place here where somebody could bring a lost person and they would be blocked from the convicting power of the Holy Ghost in this church. You know how serious this is? They brought them to the... I'm talking about disciples who walked with Jesus every day, who served Jesus, who worked for Jesus, who gave their lives for Jesus, and they didn't have what it took to help this man. They didn't have what it took. So I'm just going to be bold and blunt with you today, and I'm going to ask you right now, do you have what it takes to help your own kids? Now, I've got four kids. I've got four children. I am not just pointing my finger at you. It took over a decade of preaching and conviction for me to see my own daughter get saved. Y'all know that. Do we have what it takes to get our own children out of lunacy and into the glory? Do we have what it takes for that? Ask yourself right now in your heart, do I have what it takes to help my own kids, or are my own kids going to go astray? Now, the beautiful thing about it is that you can help them all day and all night, and some of them will still go astray. I understand that. Some of them will still go astray. But in their mind, it will be permanently ingrained, etched in the stone of their memory, what you've taught them and what it will take to bring them back. But until then, we ought to have the touch of God on us to where we can help our own family. God forbid we wake up one morning and realize that we're raising a house full of lunatics or a church full of lunatics. And I'm not talking about people that are falling in water and falling in fire. I'm talking about people that are controlled by the devil. To where if somebody brought their lost relative in here to be helped by God, we wouldn't have the power of God to assist them with that. Now, that may not bother you, but it bothers me. The disciples who are blocked. Then we see the Savior who is the best. Verse 17 and 18. The Savior who is the best. Look at verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Now what does that mean? All right, that means very clearly that Jesus is soon going to go. He's going to go back to heaven. Jesus is going to ascend up into heaven. And he's looking at them and he's saying, how long am I going to be with you? How long am I going to suffer you or allow you to have power just because of me? He said, at some point you're going to have to, listen now, at some point you're going to take a hold of this mantle that's being passed on to you, and you're going to have the power of God on you just like Jesus has on him. Now, do you think that's possible? I surely believe it's possible. We have a church environment today in society where God would be the most uncomfortable person in the whole place. So let me ask you, just like Jesus asked them, how long would Jesus be with them? Well, 3.5 years. What are they going to do after that? Well, obviously, a lot of them went on and did a lot of good, didn't they? A lot of them went on and did a lot of good. You can read the history books and find out what these men did. Many of them did. But some of them did nothing. Some of them did nothing. Why? Because they allowed themselves to be controlled by the devil. They allowed themselves to not have a burden enough to experience what God wanted them to experience and to do what God wanted them to do. Look back at verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. All right? Now that's a beautiful thing right here. It's beautiful that when we are unable, and we are, I can't save anybody. But I better be able to get somebody to Jesus. I better be able to know the way to get somebody to the Lord. John 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We've got to be able to know how to get people to Jesus. Or what are we? We're unable. We're powerless. We're helpless. We're worthless. If we can't get people to Jesus, what's the purpose? Shut her down. Close the doors. Lock them. Let it be a historical relic like so many other church buildings have become. Put a sign out front that said, "Here, once here was a place where people got saved. Once here was a place where people were on fire for God. Once here was a place where God's people flourished and had revival." Enlist the years of time that God worked and God dealt and God did great things. Make it a historical monument for people to drive, people who care to drive up here and see. Put a placard by the road that says, "Here once used to be a place where God came." Before we become a social gathering of a bunch of powerless, worthless individuals that don't care about people, how dare we want somebody to go to hell? How dare we be satisfied with people dying in their lunacy and people dying being controlled by the devil? How dare we be satisfied with that? But see, what happens is just like this multitude, you get so busy, so busy. I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this. And I'm going to tell you something. Before you know it, you're going to be standing at the great white throne judgment of God with the Lord, looking out over your people that you could have carried to Jesus. You could be looking out over the ones that you could have reached and carried to Jesus. And that's going to be sooner than later. It's going to be sooner than we think. My heart's desire this winter and in the months to come is for God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And for you to get so full of God and so full of the power of God that people that come to this place can't help but get under the conviction of God and get born again. All right, the Savior who is the best. Look at verse 18. They brought the boy to Jesus, verse 18, and Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. If a man will really get saved, his soul will really get saved, old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new, and they will be cured. They will be cured. All right, now I'm going to talk to you for a minute, and I'm going to be honest with you. Some of y'all may get sideways with me, and that's okay. Don't make fun of me because I'm limping a little bit. My knee hurts. Now listen very carefully. I have four children. And my phone's ringing. I have four children. Now listen very carefully. I want my kids to stand up. Jaden, stand up. Carson, stand up. Mason, stand up. And get Hudson up, Jaden. I want them to succeed. Now, we belong to this church. Y'all know a lot about my kids. You know their strengths and weaknesses. You know that in our family we have food allergies. We have autism. We have other physical weaknesses. I want them to succeed in their strengths, and I want them to overcome their weaknesses. Everybody agree with that in your family? All right, y'all can sit down. I watched Dean Powell after my seven-year-old yesterday. Carson got so upset because he wanted to be like them bigger boys and shoot that gun, and it kicked him in the gut. And Dean Powell went and got the 22 and helped him with it. And I watched that man helped my little boy. Oh, I was so excited about that. Now listen very carefully. If Carson, my seven-year-old, becomes the best sharpshooter in Madison County and can hit a fly at 1,000 yards, whoop-dee-doo. I love ball. My team lost last night. Don't say a word. It's my time to talk. You say all you want to when I'm done. I love ball. I love it. I love it. But if my kid becomes the best ball player that there is and get to heaven and got nothing, what have we done? I have one child that has some intelligence about him. And if he becomes an economist and turns Dow Jones wide open toward the sky, whoop-de-doo. A lot of people end up with a lot of money in their bank account. But we get to heaven, and my boy hadn't carried anybody to Jesus. What have I accomplished? It's important for the now. Yes, it's important for the now. I love to have fun as much as anybody else does. We was up there slipping and sliding in the snow. Some of these guys were hitting everything coming out of the pike, and some of them didn't hit a thing. Almost the whole time. We had a blast. I love having a good time. But what if we have a good time till the Lord comes and we go to heaven and let our kids go to hell? Is that where we are? Is that where mamas and daddies are today? And I'm a daddy. I'm with you. Is that where mamas and daddies are today, that we want them to succeed emotionally and want them to succeed financially and we want them to succeed in their athletics and we want them to succeed in their business? And we want them to succeed, but then we realize we're not getting them into heaven. We realize we're not getting them where they need to be in their lives, spiritually speaking and according to the Scripture. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Where are we if we can't guide our kids to the altar just like we can guide them to the basketball hoop? We can't teach our children to get in their Bibles and pray, but we can teach them how to swing a bat. We can't get our children to memorize Scripture, but they can memorize the multiplication tables all the way to 100 and back, backwards and forwards, division and multiplication, upside down. We force that on them, but we don't think that Psalm 23 is important anymore. We don't think that Ephesians chapter 6 is important anymore. We don't make them memorize Psalm 100 anymore. We forgot about that. We want to succeed in all these areas, but the Bible, well, you know, if I have time. That's where we are. And it's a wake-up call for me that if my children become the best humans and are worthless in their spirituality, what have I accomplished? Nothing. You say, well, that's real serious saying that you've accomplished nothing and your kids have great success. Hey, let me tell you something. I'm not throwing off on nobody. Y'all know me. I'm not going to throw off on nobody. But you can have millions and millions of dollars and be one of the top 10 most popular people in the whole world and ride right into the side of a mountain in a helicopter. Nobody in this room knows if you're even going to make it to Petersburg by the end of the day. Nobody knows. How in the world do we think that we can bring our children up in a society that is robbing them of their spirituality and replacing it with this lunacy? You better teach your children how to come to Jesus and know Jesus. Lastly, look at verse 19. The remedy that is bright. The remedy that is bright. This is our hope. Verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, look at this. Why could we not cast him out? This boy needed help. His daddy couldn't help him. Why couldn't we help him? Now, is it possible for in this particular situation, is it possible for a person to cast the devil out of somebody else? It's possible. Anybody ever heard of preacher Jeff Brown? Okay, you can find his messages online. He's got one of the best messages. Well, he's got lots of good. Anyway, he was at Ralph Sexton Sr.'s tent meeting in Fletcher. Or maybe it was Ralph. Anyway, it's one of them tent meetings years ago. And he was demon-possessed, just like the maniac of Gadara. And he got up and run out from under that tent, went out to his pickup truck, and Brother Ralph Sexton Sr. came out, laid down on top of him in that pickup. And I'm not a Pentecostal. I'm not even a Baptist. I'm a Baptist. Y'all understand? Laid down on top of him in that pickup truck and prayed, and a bunch of men got around that truck and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and the devil left that man and he got saved that night. Under that guy. Now that's the only situation that I personally know about. Now I know there's more situations, but I had a demoniac in a revival meeting one time. I didn't know. I had no idea how to deal with the guy. I was a young guy. I had no idea how to deal with the guy. Okay, now I know nobody in here is possessed with demons or devils, and I understand that. But look at it from a spiritual standpoint. If somebody comes in here lost, do we know what to do about it? Do we know how to build an environment in this church for somebody to get saved? Well, we've had a lot of baptizings out here in the creek, but I don't want it to quit. I don't want it to stop. I don't ever want this place to be a place where it's just okay, where everything's just okay. All right, verse number 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your what? That's it. It wasn't because they weren't talented enough to do it. It wasn't because they didn't know what to do. It's just they just didn't believe that the old lunatic could ever not be a lunatic. We have some people in our country that, I look at them and I think, Lord, can anybody help this person? I mean, they're absolutely out of their mind, the way they behave and the things that they do, and it makes you want to just hit yourself in the head with a brick. Watch them. Let me ask you something. Are we that unbelieving to think that God can't save? We've had people in our government that I didn't agree with, never will, and I prayed for their salvation. Will they get saved? I hope they will. But am I the one to say I don't believe? Am I the one to say God can't save them? Am I the one to not believe that God can help them? God forbid that we be that way. God forbid that we look at people that we know that are lost, that you know is lost. Listen up now. You know they're lost. God forbid the day that we look at them and say, they're never going to get saved. They're never going to get right with God. They're too far, or they've been told 1,000 times and not listening. God forbid we ever give up. Verse 20, and Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You know, I don't know anybody in the room that could pray a whole grading job, move a whole mountain. Where's our prayer life? Where's our spirituality? Where are we when there's people dying and going to hell and we need to move a mountain, a spiritual mountain, out of their life so they can come to know the Lord? Where are you? Where are you? Verse 21. Here we go. Verse 21. Well, look at verse 20 again, the second half. He said, if you have faith of a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Look at this last phrase. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. If you believe, nothing is impossible. I've been kind of running the past couple of weeks. I've been kind of running on Jeremy's devotion on you can ask God for anything. I've been kind of running. I'm telling you what. Woo! I'm telling you, the glory's on that. You can ask God for anything. But if you don't believe He'll do it, it's a waste of time. Verse 21. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Now, what is this kind? This kind means people that have the ability to get somebody saved. Get them to Jesus. People that have the ability to get somebody's soul to the one that can save them. So let me ask you today. This kind cometh not only but by what? Prayer and fasting. Is the soul of a lost person, the eternal condemnation of a lost person, worth our prayer and fasting? It certainly is.